That was kind of my home church where I grew up. This is my home church, by the way, and my favorite church. People say, you're not supposed to say favorite. Well, I'm a little biased. Amen. Yeah, our home church, kind of the theme was where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That there's a lighthouse in the middle of the desert. Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor is home, as you can see, and you heard from him earlier. Praise God. But he was dealing with some itchy throat thing or something from a cat or something. A dander. I don't know. Anybody allergic to cats knows. It's tough. Brother Tim Downs used to say that only snakes and cats have the same slit in their eyes. Said, but cats are adorable though. I actually resemble their attitude a little bit. You know, leave me alone. I'm fine. Praise God. Well, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and please stand for the reading of the Word. Out of respect and honor for the Word of God, just for this one verse. And it's so good to see everybody here today, all of our guests. Amen. Pierre, it's great to see you, sir. God bless you, man. Your family is beautiful, wonderful. Praise God. I got to meet a lot of them a couple weekends ago, and what a great group of people. Praise the Lord. And our church family here, brothers, good to have you this morning. Hallelujah. Linda, it's good to have you this morning. Aaron, it's good to have you this morning. We could go on and on, but I'll probably miss a couple people. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians 3:12. Hallelujah. And this is speaking, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ, when it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Amen. I came today with access. I don't know if you can hear that. I came with access today. I have access. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I have access. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. God, have your way today. Bless us, Lord, in this house. Move, God, upon us. Lord, bless us with your word. Lord Jesus, anoint us, oh God, each and every one in this house. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for the access that you have given us by the faith of you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Praise God. I enjoy this, but it's a little bit hot. I have a bit louder of a voice than Sister Greeley does. Don't take too much away from me, but thank you. Praise the Lord. I came today with access. Amen. The other day, we were taking the bounce house, and Brother Fred, thank you for lending us the bounce house. And actually, he's decided to give that bounce house to the church. And that's so nice. Thank you, sir. But the other day, he says, I got to move that thing to my storage. So we loaded it up in my truck, went right down the road a couple blocks over here, and he got out with a set of keys, and he's jumbling them around and going through and trying. Finally, he turns around and looks at me, and he says, it must be on my other key ring because I can't get into this storage. We got to go back. And we ended up not putting it in there. We just dropped it back off at the church and it never did make it into the storage because we couldn't find the access. Couldn't find the right key. Amen. So today I want to come to tell you that in order to have access to the kingdom of heaven, we must have the same faith that Jesus gave to his apostles. And I want to declare to a lost world, if you're lost, if you feel lost today, that it's simple, the simple gospel plan of salvation. It's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. It's how you get in to the door. You need the very same keys that Jesus gave to his apostles. Amen. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven right after receiving a revelation about who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, 13, then Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He looked around to them, and Jesus, because he had gone around speaking the very same words and even fulfilling many of the things that they said, they were under the impression, the world around him was under the impression that he was this prophet that had come forth from the grave. And it was the fact that Jesus was not just another prophet, but he was the fulfillment of all prophecy. Praise the Lord. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, it says in Revelation 19. Praise God. So Jesus sounded like them, resembled them, did some of the very things that they said. He said, who do men say? And it's one thing for somebody to say, and I've done this, I did this last week in the class, because it kind of takes the pressure off of people. It's easy to talk about other people. Anybody know that? It's harder to talk about yourself sometimes, right? Praise the Lord. I don't have to go into gossip, but it's not right to talk to other people. Talk about other people, to people. Amen. But it's easy if they say, you know, Pastor, who do other people say that I am? So they started to tell them, oh, some people are saying this, some people are saying that. But then he looked at them and said, but whom say ye that I am? That's an important question. And it's a question that each and every one of us has to answer. Has to answer. Why? Because your idea of who God is affects every single part of your life. If you think God is some great big old man sitting up on a throne and he's got a club in his hand, you're going to act like that. And you might actually do some of those things to other people. But if you know that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, that he came and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins, amen, and that he showed every way possible to live for him, amen. If you know that Jesus was not just another teacher or just another prophet, but that he himself was God manifest in the flesh, amen. It's going to change the way you behave and see the world. Praise the Lord. And so Peter jumped up in verse 17. Amen. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. It was upon the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is that the church was built, and that there's no force or power in this world that can ever destroy or come against the church and last. Hallelujah. The keys to the kingdom of heaven were given to a man who received a revelation directly from God of who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he was given the keys. And we'll see how that Jesus told his disciples how it was that they can be saved. So Jesus didn't just say, take these keys and make up whatever you want. No. Jesus said, here's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving them to you. Praise the Lord. There are so many keys being offered by religion and false doctrine. They'll say there's a secret to how to access heaven, or that there's some sort of hidden plan or mystery to access heaven. How do we in fact get into heaven? So many people have distorted and complicated a simple thing. And all of them offer a different key. Well, try this key and try that key and try. You can bounce around your entire life trying to access heaven and access salvation just by trying what everybody else says. But the Bible, amen, gives us the right keys to access heaven, and it's clear. And it's an apostolic message. If you want to be like the first church, if you want to be like the apostles, go look at what the apostles said, and you will be able to access heaven. Praise the Lord, and salvation. Hallelujah. People say, well, it's all about loving Jesus. All about loving Jesus. You guys are all finished in my preaching. Yeah. Oh, it's just all about loving Jesus. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to say. There's nothing you have. No, you don't have to obey anything. You know, throw the words of Jesus out and just love them. Should we really do that? No, no, no. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. Or you know that you're already saved. Everybody's already saved. Will that key work? Will that key give you access to heaven? Praise God. What about just know that you're saved and you already are? Easy believism. Just know. Just have an inner feeling of salvation. Because when I said these types of words, and when I said this kind of prayer, I had tingling, and I imagine you did, and I imagine that it was good, and I imagine that you felt something because you were praying, and we can feel something when we're praying because prayer works. But is it simply just saying a specific word that will give you access? Well, we're going to see what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. What about just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth? Now, that's Scripture. That's Scripture. But are you going to just repeat the Scripture, or are you going to know what the Scripture means? Hallelujah. And that's not hidden. It's open and plain for everybody. You got the same Bible I do. Best-selling book of all time. Praise the Lord. You got the same book, Pastor. We got the same Bible. Amen? Praise God. What about just say the sinner's prayer? Yes. Yeah, I went there. You know, it's interesting to me because there was a big push, especially early, like in the 80s and all of these conferences, and they filled stadiums and they had people say the sinner's prayer. And now that there's podcasts, those same groups are going on those podcasts and saying, you know, I don't think that was a good idea, because it just convinced everybody that they're saved by just saying these specific words, and it's just so impersonal. You know, there's got to be a transformation that happens and occurs in your life. Hallelujah. And again, this is not to pick on anybody. But this is, do you really want access? I have access. I know, because the Word of God tells me I have access. And I have the receipts to prove it. Praise the Lord. I'll give you a preview right here. I got these papers for you. I have access, it says at the top. All right? And it's full of Scriptures. I'm not making this up. And I'm going to give one to you if you come here at the end. I'm going to give one to you. Praise the Lord. We'll read it together. Because that's what the scriptures say. That's what God says about me. He says, I have access. Praise the Lord. What about just speak to the priest? Well, come on. A lot of people believe that. That they can just talk to the pastor, shake the pastor's hand. And it even goes deeper than that. Can you believe that there's a belief out there that a man can absolve you of your sins? That's shocking to me. Because that certainly puts the power in, that switches the whole power dynamic. If you had to come to me to be saved, I would feel sorry for you. I'm just being honest. I'm not God. Pastor's not God. Sister Greeley's not God. Nobody here is God. Or do we go to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Amen. No man cometh to the Father, he said, but by me. Amen. He's the only way into heaven. He's the only way to have access. He's the only way that you can enter. He's the only way that you can be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody that has access, lift up your voice and give glory and power and majesty to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I have access by Him. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Scripture warns against those who would trouble us, try to turn us away from following Jesus to another gospel. He says, Paul says to the Galatian church in Galatians 1 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me a part truth, I know they're lying to me. If somebody tells me, oh, you know, 99.999% is that's the truth, and then 0.00001 is a lie. It's Johnny James says like this: a part truth is a whole lie. It's a whole lie, amen. If you pervert the gospel, it's not the gospel anymore. And there's only one gospel that can save us. Hallelujah. And then Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then look at this. Paul was called by God, and he received the same gospel that Jesus gave to his apostles by revelation. He gave it to Paul. Look at this. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get a revelation of who God is, it has to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given unto us by the knowledge of Him. Amen. If you know Him, you know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. If you know Him, He said, he that sees me has seen the Father. If you know Him, you know that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily. and you can be complete in Him. You can have access in Him. Amen. If you get a revelation of who He is, if you don't know who Jesus is, you've got to call upon Him. You've got to say, Lord, show me who You are. Lord, show me who You are. So how was it then? Paul was on the road to Damascus. And he was struck down on that road by a great light. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, now, let me say this, because Paul was a one God Hebrew scholar. He was monotheistic to the core. He didn't think that there could be three in one, or that there could be many in one. He did not believe that. He knew in his heart that God is absolutely one, and you cannot say it, you cannot separate any parts or pieces of God. In fact, you can't make three persons in one God. You can't do it. So Paul said, who art thou, Lord? He knew that there's only one God that could knock me off my horse and blind me and cause me to become prostrate before Him. What did Jesus say? I am. Well, hold on a second. I am. If you know that Jesus is God, you know that He's the great I Am. You know that He is the Lord of all creation. You know that He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the One who was and who is and is to come, the Almighty God. Hallelujah. If you know who He is the I Am that I am. He said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Hallelujah. And Paul had access to the gospel. Paul had access by revelation to who he was. And he had access to the gospel. Amen. Instant access. You can have instant access today. Praise the Lord. So, if we're going to ask Jesus today about His doctrine and about who He is, He would say, this is what Jesus would say, because He already said it. He'd say, go ask the apostles. Why are you asking me? John 18:19, the high priest then asked Jesus of His disciples and of His doctrine. Listen, that represents established religious belief. It was the high priest. Yeah, the Levitical priesthood. The established religious system of the world that could not save a single soul. And Jesus answered him. Verse 20. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Amen. Jesus goes even farther than that, because He just got done praying in the garden. And He said that we could be saved through the preaching of the same word that Jesus gave the apostles. John 17:14. This is called the high priestly prayer. Hallelujah. And Jesus was just about to take that robe. Because as soon as He said that to Caiaphas, He ripped his garment. And He barred Himself from becoming the high priest. And transferred the high priesthood to Jesus. This is amazing stuff that happened. Praise the Lord. But He says, I have given them thy word. What exactly did Jesus teach? He taught the word of God. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Through the truth. Listen to this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Through the very word that I gave to them. Through the very word that God gave to me. Amen. I gave it to them. And there is going to be many saved by the word that they preached. That same gospel. That same truth. That same word of God that is able to save you to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what exactly did Jesus say to them about salvation? And if you're in elements class, this is review. Praise the Lord, we just talked about this today. But John chapter 3, verse 1. Nicodemus wanted access to something that the world could not give him. Nicodemus wanted access to God, and he didn't have it. He had position, he had authority, he had money, he had everything that the world could give, but he didn't have salvation. He didn't have access to heaven. Hallelujah. He didn't have access to God. John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus wasn't having any of that. He was trying to, you know, give Jesus a compliment. He was trying to get special access to Jesus by telling him how great he was and telling him, oh, we know that you're from God, and telling him, you know, who I am. You know, if I really supported you, Jesus, you know, if I gave you some money, would that help? If I did this, if I did that, maybe I can use my position of authority to spread the gospel. Jesus wasn't having any of that. Jesus went straight to the heart of how to get access to heaven. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see means perceive even. Not just to see the kingdom of God around you, but to even understand or have any access to. If you're not born again, you probably are struggling. Probably living life the old way. I'm probably boring you. Amen. The Word of God's probably not alive in your heart. Something's not jumping up inside of you. Because you don't have access. You need to be born again. God can transform the person you are. And you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You don't have keys. You can't enter. If you're not born again, you can't enter. You need the keys. You need the same keys that the apostles had. You need the same keys that Jesus handed to Peter. You need the same keys that Paul had. You need access. You got to be born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jumping to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Again, this is what Jesus gave to His apostles. Jesus reminded His apostles of the keys. Repentance, remission of sins, and the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's right there on the board behind me. Praise the Lord. You need the keys. You got to be born again. Luke 24:44 says, "And He said unto them, These are the words, again, words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding." Hear that key hit that tumbler. Clunk. Turn. He opened the door. He showed them who He was. That He gave them the keys. Hallelujah. He gave them the keys. He unlocked the door. Hallelujah. And He said unto them, "Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day." That's the gospel. He suffered, He died, He was buried, He was put into that tomb, that rock was rolled into place, and then the third day, that rock rolled away, and He came up out of that tomb victorious. That's great. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's amazing. That's the truth of the gospel of Christ. But what about me? What about me, Brother Fred? What about me, Brother Jay? I want access. Well, the next verse, the very next verse gives us that access. It says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in My name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." I get access through the same gospel. Repentance is a death to self, a death to my old ways and my old nature. I die with Jesus and I'm buried with Him in baptism. I get remission. That's complete and full payment for all of my sins in baptism in His name. That's important. If you have not been baptized specifically, explicitly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today you can have access. You don't have to leave here the same way you came. Hallelujah. Jesus' name is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You have access if you've been baptized in that name. Repentance, remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And it doesn't stop there. He says, "And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The power of the Holy Ghost is accessible to me through the power that He pours out upon us through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, that's not all He said. That's not all He said. He's given His disciples the keys. He said, "Well, if you want to know how to get into heaven, ask them." So we're asking them. They wrote these down. They wrote these words. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. This is a good old apostolic message. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, there's a warning to those. Yes, of course you've got to believe. Of course. But it said believe. Jesus said that. This is the words of Jesus. I wish we had them up there in red. In your Bible, look, they're in red. Jesus said it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We talked about that in elements today. That being born again of the water and of the Spirit is the one baptism. The one baptism. It's not complete if you just go down in the water in Jesus' name. And you don't receive the outpouring and the outflowing of the Holy Ghost that comes into your heart. If you've only been born of the water and not the Spirit, you're in the process. But you've got to have that full spiritual transformation, that full birth that only happens when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've been baptized in water and you haven't spoken tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, amen, you need to come and ask God every single opportunity that you get. You need to ask God for that power. Amen. You need to ask God for that outflowing. Amen. Listen, a lot of people get tied up because we focus on that sign of speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost comes into your heart. It kind of fills up like a some sort of jar or something, and then it starts to bubble and flow out. It's with stammering lips and another tongue. It's like living waters that flow out of you. It's like a babbling brook, if you will, that Holy Ghost water gets poured into you and it outflows through your mouth. You get to the point where you can't contain it. You get to the point where you can't hold it back. You're not in control. You're not the one saying those things. It's the Spirit that speaks through you. Amen. So we focus on tongues because that's a sign. It's a very evident sign because when it happens to you, you know. Don't you, Sister Summer? You know. Wait, what you were just talking about, what you were just preaching about, it happened. It happened to me. I almost didn't believe it. But when it happened, I knew. Amen. And God wants you to know that you have access. He wants you to be completely, totally sure. Now, are there other things that are going to happen in your life? Yes, you might prophesy. Yes, you might have other gifts that come through the Spirit. Yes, you might have other things, not might, but will have a transformation of life. You will start living a holy life. You will start knowing more of the Word of God. You will start seeing things that you never saw before in Scripture and understanding things that you never understood before. Praise the Lord. It will happen. And then go to verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I've got to hurry. And in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. It wasn't might, maybe, sometimes. No, they will follow them that believe. Hallelujah. Peter, he had the keys. He heard everything Jesus spoke. And now you have heard everything Jesus spoke. You know exactly how Jesus said to access the kingdom of heaven. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached the word. He preached the same gospel that Jesus preached, as Jesus preached it. Amen. He preached about the signs of things to come. He preached about the outpouring of His Spirit. He preached about the things pertaining to Jesus and who Jesus is, just like you've heard preached today. And the people heard the message. And then there was a kind of a little bit of a jab, kind of a poke, something Peter kind of stepped on their toes, Pastor. Because we try to blame everybody else for what happened to Jesus. Don't be blaming other people. How about you focus on you? How about you focus on what you have done? How about your sins? How about the things that He became that you are even today? Sinner, lost, wretched, undone, broken. Hallelujah. Blind. Oh. Acts 2:36. Peter says, he gives it to them. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You crucified Him. I crucified. You want to know who crucified Jesus? If you point your finger at someone else, you got fingers pointed back at you. More pointed at you than them. Amen? You crucified Him. He became your sin, that you might be the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. He says, now when they heard this, Acts 2:37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus preach repentance? Oh, He did. He didn't just say easy believism, shake the pastor's hand. He didn't give them a big old key ring and none of the keys work. He preached repentance. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Now, did Jesus preach, be baptized in His name for the remission of sins? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Matter of fact, He said, be baptized in the name, singular. This is Matthew 28:19. Name, singular. One name, personal name, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said to be baptized in His name. That is why when you get over to the book of Acts, you never hear them repeating His words. You never hear the apostles say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't never said. In fact, there's a standing challenge by many preachers, and I've joined the challenge. You can have my house if you can find one. I didn't ask my wife about this, but I'm pretty confident. Yeah. You can have the deed to my house and the mortgage. If you can find me one place in Scripture, just one place, where the apostles, or any other person for that matter, ever baptized somebody saying the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If they ever said that phrase, then what are we doing being apostolic? I just saw a podcast the other day. This is so great. I'm going to send it to all of you guys, as many as I know. Brother Bernard, our superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church, he said he was talking to a Trinitarian Pentecostal preacher. And they're getting to talking about doctrines and things like that. And Brother Bernard said, you know, sir, every single one of the apostles were Pentecostal. And the man agreed with him, Sister Greeley. And he said, I'll go one further, Pastor. every single one of the apostles were oneness Pentecostals. They were apostolics. Every single apostle was an apostolic Pentecostal, one God, monotheistic believer. And so they baptized in the name of the God that was revealed to them. Hallelujah. That's the truth. If you're a one God apostolic, you got access. You got access. If you're not a one God apostolic, the access is here today. You don't have to leave this place without access. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. All right. I got one more page of notes, but I'm not going to go too much into it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, and Paul, he was very clear. He summarized the gospel, that it is the only way to have access to the kingdom of heaven. It's the only way to have access to God and to have access to salvation. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." To how many? Everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone that believeth. The access is in the gospel. Amen. And you don't just, you know, people try to deceive you. People try to trick you. People try to hand you a big key ring and say, try this and try that. Don't be deceived. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to enter. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin is be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Amen. There is an Antichrist. And there is a mystery of iniquity that already works. There are forces that oppose this message. Think about it. If you were the devil, remember that old Paul Harvey, "If I were the devil." Go Google that. "If I were the devil," and listen to it. It is chilling. But if I were the devil, the first thing I would do is try to remove access. I'd try to steal your keys to who God is. Because if you don't know who God is, how can you believe in the first place? And then I would try to remove access to the only saving power of faith in the name of Jesus. I would try to remove access to salvation. And that's exactly what the devil did. You know, within 100 to 200 years after Jesus Christ and after the last apostle died, that the entire world fell away into false doctrine. And there was a few solid believers that were a remnant of the truth of God. And you can read about it. You can study about it. Amen. That historical books have been written about the true one God apostolic believers, and the rest of the world, by 325 AD, they totally distorted the view of God and instituted the doctrine of the Trinity, which is not in the Bible. Access to God is only through the gospel. It's only through that saving power. And Paul did preach that gospel. Romans 5:1. He said, "We have access through faith, And then grace gives us the instructions to be saved. Hallelujah. You know, if you have access, you just go freely in and out, as you will, however you want. Amen. But if you don't have access, you seem to keep coming up against walls. You keep on sinning and you keep on living the same old way you were. And you keep on seeing the same things that you had seen before. And you're stuck in a rut and you don't know why you can't get out of it. If you have access to God through the gospel, you don't have that problem. Amen. But you can have access today. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. Getting access to the kingdom of God is just the beginning. It's just the first part of entering in to the door. Getting access to the kingdom of God, it's so easy. It's so easy a child can understand it. And as a matter of fact, you've got to become like a little child and have childlike faith and believe that Jesus is God, the only God. That Jesus is the only way. That He's the only truth. That He's the only life. It's easy to get access. I've seen little kids get baptized. I've seen little kids with tears flowing. Pastor talked about junior camp. And every time I think about it, my heart swells with all the young people, all the kids that I saw week in and week out at junior camp. They would have altar calls like you wouldn't believe. And there would be no dry eyes in the entire church because all these kids are just crying out to God. I wonder if some of us have grown up too much that we're going to be stoic and we're not going to respond. Amen. Respond to God's word. Respond. Amen. Respond. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor, help me out here. Hold on right here. I'd like you to come to the altar and get one of these pieces of paper. We're going to read it together. Come on. You're already in. Come on, everybody. Everybody, if I don't have enough, you can share. Hallelujah. Come on. Gather in. Make some room. Oh. Make some room. Come on. Turn this way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We running out here. Give the rest. Praise the Lord. If you don't get a copy, I'd like to give you one today. Come on in. Come on in, sir. Come on. Come right up here to the front. Come on. Don't be afraid. We're not going to bite you. Come on. Bring your... Oh, what a beautiful family. Praise God. Come on. Come stand together. Come closer. Young people, come right up here to the front. Are you listening? Come right up to the front. We want everybody that wants access to have access. Hallelujah. Turn this way. Turn to me. Amen. It's just simple. It's simple. I'm trying to remember your name. Sidoni. It's simple, Sidoni. The gospel's simple. It's not complicated. It's not distorted. It's right here in God's Word. And I want you to know what you have access to. Come on in, O'Shane. Come on. Bring your mom. Come on. I want you to know what you have access to. Sister Tamea, grab one of these papers. Hallelujah. Or share with somebody. Amen. I want you to know what you have access to. This is why this is the gospel. This is beautiful, by the way. This is the best altar call we've ever had. Amen. I want you to know that when you received the Holy Ghost, you didn't just get nothing. You got riches. I want you to know that when you got access, when you got the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that it wasn't poverty, spiritual poverty, but it's treasure in earthen vessels. I want you to know that this is why the gospel is the best news anyone has ever heard. We all heard news yesterday. This is the best news you will ever hear in your life. The gospel is so good. It's so good that sometimes it's unbelievable how good God is. Sometimes we kind of doubt in our faith. And we're thinking, well, I don't know. We start beating ourselves up. I don't know. Do I really have access to that? Look at this. And if I say something, if we read something that resonates in your heart, I just want you to stop what you're doing and praise Him. And just lift Him up. Just raise up your voice to God. Hallelujah. I have access. I have been, look at the verses here. I have access. I have been justified, completely forgiven and made righteous. Romans 5:1. When I repented, I died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. Romans 6:1-6. I am free from condemnation. My sin is condemned on Calvary. Romans 8:1. I have been placed into Christ by the hand of God when I willingly obeyed the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I have received the Spirit of God into my life. Somebody ought to be praising the Lord right now. This isn't a somber gathering. Somebody ought to be realizing right now how good God is. I have received the Spirit of God into my life that I might know the things freely given to me by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. I am born of God, and the evil one, the devil, cannot touch me. 1 John 5:18. I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Come on, does somebody got the receipt? Does somebody know what God tells you about yourself? You have access. Hallelujah. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God in Christ. And I have been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge guaranteeing my inheritance to come. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22 and Ephesians 1:13 through 14. I have died in repentance. I no longer live for myself but for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. I have been made perfect, holy and righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Hallelujah. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I am now living is Christ's life. Galatians 2:20. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. The church was chosen to be made like Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before Him. And I am part of the church. Somebody read this with me. Somebody look at this. This is what we have access to. Hallelujah. The church that I'm part of was predestined, determined by God. Therefore, I'm adopted as God's son. Ephesians 1:7-8. I have been made alive together with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:5. I have been raised up and seated with Christ in heaven. The Scripture says right now. Right now we're seated in heaven. Right now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:6. I have direct access to God through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18. I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. Ephesians 3:12. I have been rescued from darkness and the domain of Satan's rule and transferred into the kingdom of Christ. Colossians 1:13. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. The debt and penalty against me has been canceled. Ha! Amen! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! There were so many. There were so many claims the devil had tried to make over my life. There were so many things the devil tried to tell me that I was and that I wasn't. There were so many things that evil one tried to come and speak into my ear and say that I was not, that I could not be, that I... Somebody know what I'm talking about? You need to know who you are in Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus Himself is in me. The hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. I am firmly rooted in Christ and I am now being built in Him. Colossians 2:7. I have been made complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. I have been spiritually circumcised. Colossians 2:11. I have been buried, raised, and made alive with Christ. Colossians 2:12 through 13. I died with Christ, and I have been raised up with Christ. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. Christ is now my life. Colossians 3:1 through 4. I have been given the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have been saved and set apart according to God's doing. 2 Timothy 1:9 and Titus 3:5, because I am sanctified, I am one with the sanctifier. He is not ashamed to call me His own. Hebrews 2:11, I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace in the time of need. And I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I am the partaker of God's divine nature. Amen. I have access. I have access. Somebody say it with me. I have access. I have access. Come on, if you have access, would you lift up your hands? Would you lift up your voices? I have access. Oh, somebody praise Him. Somebody give Him the thanks. Somebody give Him the love that He's worthy of. The worship. Hallelujah. I have access. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. If you don't have something to praise God about, why don't you look at who you are in Jesus? Why don't you look at who you can be if you're a lost sinner? Why don't you look to Jesus? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. I have access. I have access. Hallelujah. Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's praise God in the sanctuary.